Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Erica Lester, who is a blissful badass obsessed with creating more bliss in the world. She's a life coach, digital course creator and an inspired human on a mission to help others understand the power they hold over their own lives and their capacity for being a light for others. From teenage drug addict and single mother to living the life of her dreams, she's figured out the key to living a life on purpose instead of by default. Hey, lovely one.
Hello.
Thank you for coming and having a conversation with me.
Thanks for having me.
You know what the best thing about having your own podcast is?
What?
You can ask your friends to come and have conversations with you.
That is beautiful.
So it's really lovely to have you here and just to be able to have this conversation. And we were talking a little bit before we went on about how giving yourself permission or being courageous enough to say yes to the things that scare you is one of the things that has shifted and changed for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent so much of my life doing, you know, what I thought I should do or what people told me to do. And one of the great things about my life now is I've realized that that's really not what life is about. Life's supposed to be fun. And some of the most fun I've had is doing things that scare me that I wouldn't have done before.
Yeah. And actually, so I want to ask you what adulting means to you. And then I really want to dive into some stuff that I have been really dying to talk to you about. So what does being an adult mean to you?
It shifts and changes for me over time. I think my answer right now would really be, it's our opportunity to decide. And we have life experience, obviously, in the past that is a lens for us to look through, but it really is up to us. And it means that we get to choose and we don't have to do what someone else says we have to do.
And I love that, because actually that sums up so concisely for me the wildness and the responsibility, right? So
yeah.
You get to choose, and with that comes responsibility, but also comes the capacity for wildness. Like, we can do whatever the fuck we want, right?
Exactly. It's up to us. No one gets to decide.
I love that. I really love that. I think we're on the same page. And the thing that I was dying to ask you was, so I mostly work with misfits, so people who are too innovative, too creative, too geeky, or just too full of heart to clock in, clock out of a job or life. And I help them to create lives as unique and extraordinary as they are, that really feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And there's this thing about misfits that most people don't know, which is they're really compliant and that we can perform so much more than the world thinks, right? So when you were saying earlier, like, you spent so many years doing what you thought other people thought you should do, or like what you thought other people wanted you to do, or what you thought you should be doing. For me, when I look at you now, and I would say, you know, I know a little bit about you, but I also see bits of your lifestyle, and I would put you in the misfit camp, right? And so to have that thing of like being a misfit, but also still feeling like you have to be a certain way and actually being quite compliant, does that ring true for you?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think, you know, a lot of stuff happened as a teenager, and it was that feeling of being a misfit that I think initially led me into the lifestyle that I was in, into doing drugs, because I didn't feel like I fit anywhere. And I didn't, what I wanted out of life didn't align with what everyone was saying it should be. And, you know, the way I wanted to be in the world didn't align with the things I was seeing around me and the people that, you know, I grew up with or my family or any of them. Mm-hmm. And so that 100% rings true. And I think that's why I ended up in a position where I could no longer live my own life, because I had so long tried to like shove myself into a box so that I could be responsible and I could take care of my family and I, you know, could be successful by other people's terms. So yeah, that's absolutely.
And then my experience of that was also for a long time was drugs. And for me now, my understanding of that is two things. It's a sense of seeking, right? Like actually what we're looking for is seeking, whether that's connection, whether it's escape, whether it's another community, whether it's a subset, like people that get us, whatever it is, it's seeking to connect and to find our way of finding a voice and all of that other stuff. And yet, for me at least, in that process, there's so much fear and so much guilt, where I think from the outside, as a person looking at someone reacting and responding in that way, it can look like they know what they're doing, or they've got their stuff together, or they're just very angry or whatever. And actually on the inside, for me at least, there was so much fear and so much guilt I wonder whether that was the same for you.
It's interesting that you say that, because fear and guilt are things that I talk about a lot, because we talked a little bit about the fear, you know, so much of the fun that I found is on the other side of the fear, but the guilt is what buried me. Like, everything I did, I scrutinized, and it never lived up to the standards, to my own standards, which is what I thought the world expected of me. And then you just start piling that guilt on until it just buries you. And so much of what I do now is to try to help people understand and forgive themselves in the same way that you would, you know, if it was a close family member or friend, you would never treat them that way. You would never talk to them the way you do yourself. You would never expect them to torture themselves for their entire life over something so small, but that's what we do to ourselves. So letting go of the guilt and learning how to forgive myself for being human was a huge part of the transition for me. And I think
I'm for wanting what you want, right?
Yes. Like,
it's like we've felt, for me at least, there was a huge part of feeling guilty for wanting what I wanted and trying to change what I wanted.
And expecting more out of life.
Yeah. I mean, I see it in like, in the bi, gay, trans community. I see it in a lot of communities where people are like, my life would just be easier if I could not want what I want, right? Like if I could be the same, if I could want what other people want, if I could want what my family want for me, right? And actually when we let go of the fear of being seen and the fear of being ourselves and the guilt of not being how we think other people want us to be, then everything changes and shifts.
Absolutely. And the sad thing is I think, I mean, obviously there are people in our lives that do expect certain things, but I think that we spend more time projecting the opinions of others back onto ourselves that aren't always there. You know, like we've created this monster because we're judging ourselves by other people's expectations that we're forcing ourselves to believe that everyone is judging us that way. And I just don't think that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. And at least, I mean, I don't know whether it was the same for you, but in my world, when I did find the drugs and I did find the blah, 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 you know, all of those other things, but that wasn't what was important about it. What was important about it was the community, was the family, was the other people who got me, right? And now I've managed to transition into a place where I don't have the drugs and I still have a community, I still have the friendship, and I still have people around me who get me, right?
Yes, and I think definitely the community and also the drugs gave me the ability to push past the fear and guilt and act like myself, right? Like it takes the edge off. So it's luckily I've learned how to do that without the drugs now. But that was a big part of it for me, was to just be able to be myself and not so constantly be wrapped up in my head about, you know, all of these other things that were going on that don't matter.
Yeah. And for me, it's really interesting because I haven't talked about the drug stuff for a really long time, but when I think about it now, and as you're talking, I remember that these days I just tell people that I'm not as extroverted as they think, or I'm not as confident as they think, and that I might need some time to myself to recharge and recuperate. Or I give myself what I need because I've spent time listening and asking myself, like, what do I need in order to show up here? Like, but then I didn't have that capacity. I didn't have the awareness and didn't have the resources. So for me, what drugs gave me was confidence and a way through that fear, just as you're explaining.
Yeah. And that's a big part of that for me was the fear of being seen, right? Like what you're talking about. Now you can say that because you're okay with who you are and you're self-aware and you're not afraid to show people who you really are, but which is a really powerful thing. But that's a lot of what the drugs gave me too, was it just didn't matter to me anymore because I couldn't feel the fear. And so learning how to push past that fear and being okay with being seen for who you are. Mm. And some people aren't going to like you, but who cares? I don't give a shit what they think. You know, like I have decided I'm going to be me, and some people will love me and some people won't. And that's okay.
What did you do, or how did that shift take place for you?
It's been a long process for sure. I think the biggest thing for me was learning to love myself and learning to understand that being who I am is a gift. And that if all of us were the same, how boring would that be? Mm-hmm. I don't want a whole world full of the same people who like the same things and, you know, have the same quirks or whatever. And a big part of the process for me was really looking at myself as if it was through the loving eyes of someone I was close to, you know, because like I said earlier, we judge ourselves so harshly. And so the process of really like seeing myself through other people's eyes helped me let go of some of the guilt, helped me see myself a little more kindly. You know, and the fear, pushing through the fear and just doing things that I want to do, or even doing things that I didn't think I wanted to do, but I hadn't done before, and just showing up in the world and pushing myself to do that has shown me that people aren't judging me as harshly as I think. Or if they are, they're not telling me about it, which is fine. And it's fun. It's fun to do things and it's fun to show up and it's fun to not constantly be in my head wrapped around, well, what am I going to say next? Well, make sure you don't do that. You know, just self-editing all the time to try to make everyone like me.
I was like that as well. And one of the things when people ask me, like, the turning point for me was, I mean, several rock bottoms, but the turning point when everything changed was making the decision to figure out who I really was and to learn to love it and love that person or change until I did. And in that, and I have the language for it now and I didn't then, but now I'm like, oh, so our identity like isn't static, it's fluid and we get to choose. And so if I can choose to be whoever I want to be, who do I want to be based on like my desires and my feelings and my values and my beliefs and those kind of things. And then drawing, like being the lighthouse and drawing in the people who are attracted to that and repelling the ones that aren't. So I just don't ever have to be in that place where I'm like, well, what is that person going to think about me? And should I have said that? And they're, you know, just constant. My mind was so busy before.
Yeah, mine too. And for me, there was one particular moment that started this journey for me to find who I am. I had literally reached a place in my life where I didn't want to get out of bed. I prayed every night I wouldn't wake up the next morning. I envisioned myself driving my car off a cliff. And keep in mind, I had a loving husband and two beautiful teenage daughters. Like I had a beautiful life, but I had shoved myself into this box and denied who I was for so long that I literally couldn't do it anymore. I could not live my own life. And it was in that moment that I just knew, like, I had to decide to learn how to live and be happy in life, or I had to just die. I couldn't do what I was doing anymore. And I'm
–
like it was the start of the entire journey and led me to here.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you went on that journey.
Me too.
Yeah. And how has your family's response, or how have your relationships changed?
It's really beautiful. My husband and I are like, you know, newlyweds again. I mean, we have so much fun together, and we've been married 14 years. You know, we've been together a long time. So we have so much fun together. My children are adults now, and they tell me all the time how proud of me they are. I've been really blessed to be able to be an example for them, to really lean into who they want to be, and have that individuality and start to really, you know, just design their own life and be okay with whatever that is. So it makes me really happy to have had that transition and to see my relationships now, especially with them. Plus I get to meet all kinds of cool people like you.
Thanks. Oh, so if someone is hearing this and they're kind of recognizing bits of themselves in your story or in anything that I've discussed, what do you think is the best place for someone to start? Like, what's the first step for them?
I think it really is a decision. Like, if this is resonating with you and you're thinking, yeah, I hear some of that in me, it all starts with the decision that you're worth more and you're ready to make that commitment. You know, once you decide that you want that, the stuff comes to you. You can find what you need. You start to learn your own tools. But you have to know and decide that's what you want. Not even that's what you want, just that you want more, or you know there's more, and you're committing to finding what that is for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I also think, I'm kind of remembering back to that place, and there's this weird thing where you have to be ready to let go of everything you already have. And the weird thing is, you don't want any of it, but you aren't always ready to let go of it, right?
Yeah, that's very beautiful.
I remember being like, I don't want any of this, but I also, if I was really honest, didn't even realize how tightly I was holding on to that which was in my life. And for me, it's like, it's a decision, but it's also a willingness to let go and a willingness to step into, you know what? I don't know any different. I don't know what's after this. I've been so tightly controlling everything in my life up until this point. And it's going to be huge for me to let go and not control anymore.
Yeah, that is huge. And I think that goes back to the fear too. You have to be okay with the fear, because you may not want any of what you've got in your life, but it's everything you know. So letting that go isn't a small thing.
It is huge. It is huge, but absolutely worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely worth it. I would encourage anyone, whether I'm sitting face to face or, you know, hearing from them on the internet or someone listening to this, that it is the most worthwhile thing I've ever done. And if you can find your way to being ready, just try it. Like, what do you have to lose at this point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so interesting how attached we are to stuff we don't like.
I know.
I could do a whole show on that, like how attached we are to stuff we don't like, and like how we just recreate the same thing over and over again because the fear of doing something differently or the fear of not knowing is so great for us.
And it's huge.
Yeah. And there's such power in letting go. And so I feel like one of the skills that you get to learn when you're in this place is trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember at that point in my life, I didn't trust. Not only did I not trust anyone, but I really didn't trust me.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's where the control comes from, right? Like you were talking about control, and that's absolutely where I was at. I mean, I was a total control freak because I was so afraid of what would happen. If I didn't hold on that tightly. And a big part of that is trust. in myself. I mean, I was afraid deep down that if I let that control go, that I would go off the rails, or, you know, go back to what I'd been doing before, like all of this bad stuff that could happen because I didn't trust myself.
Yeah, me too. I can't agree more. It's so interesting to think about it now. So interesting to think about the layers of, and my part of me doesn't even want to share this, but like it shifts and it changes, but I still have days where I'm like, oh, I'm controlling again, or oh, I'm holding on again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not a battle, but it's an awareness, right? Like, a big part of this transition for me has been learning to be aware of my thoughts and my actions, not in a sense like before where I was editing them, but in a sense of, oh, am I slipping back into my old patterns? Is this really what I want to do? You know, just an awareness to like keep myself out of that, sliding back into that life that I was leading before, or that person that I was before, you know? Mm.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I feel like this is going to be really useful for people. And there's, you know, you and I were a whole, you know, countries apart, and it happened in totally different timelines and completely different lives. And I think if anyone's listening, like that feeling of being stuck in your life and not knowing how to escape it or what to do next, and feeling that guilt and feeling that fear, can happen to anyone at any point in your life. And it doesn't mean that you're a failure, and suffering isn't a badge of honor, right?
Absolutely. Like, that is so beautiful. We need to learn to forgive ourselves, right? I mean, we're human. We all make mistakes. We're all doing the best that we can. And so, yeah, you're not a failure. None of you are failures. None of us are failures. It's just life. We're just learning and hopefully getting better and growing as we go.
And we have to, you know, failure is literally being attached to an outcome, like having a judgment and being attached to an outcome. And if something happens and it isn't as we thought it would be, then it's our judgment that makes it a failure, right? It's not a failure.
Yes. That's really profound and beautiful. What a great way to say that. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. And so really actually that. Living involves getting messy. Living involves trying things out and seeing what happens, like seeing whether it sticks, seeing whether it works, seeing whether you enjoy it. And so this is an opportunity for you to decide to try something different.
And that's where the fun is.
Yeah.
In trying the new thing and seeing what happens. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. If people want to come and find out more about you and the work that you're doing, and yeah, where's the best place for them to come and connect?
My website, definitely. I'm pretty involved in keeping that up to date right now, so that would definitely be the best place to find me, and just got all my contacts.
Fab. So we'll put a link in the show notes so people can click through and come find you. Have you got an I'm an adult but for us?
I do. I am an adult, but I sometimes have the humor of a 12-year-old boy and giggle inappropriately at lots of things.
Me too.
Oh, good.
And I love that it's a 12-year-old boy as well, right? Because that's exactly how I've been saying it. Like, I will snigger at any jokes that a 12-year-old boy would find funny.
I still just, yeah. Sometimes it's hard to hold in, but I'm okay with it. It's fun.
I kind of love it because people often don't expect it from me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay, what's mine today? Well, I'm an adult, but sometimes I still really don't want to be. And that's okay.
I can feel that one. I have those days too.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you so much for joining me and for having this conversation. It's been lovely.
This was really fun. Thank you for having me.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.